Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This is tornado season, and apparently the season of people standing outside their homes, taking videos of tornadoes coming right toward them, which makes me want to yell at my monitor, "Get inside! Go to the basement! Get out of the way of that tornado! What is wrong with you, dude?" Life is precious. Too precious to risk it taking a stupid video. "Oh, it's coming really close." God made us with compassion. When we see someone endangering themselves, we want them to stop. Even though the danger is not to us, we feel an urgency on behalf of our neighbor. Like there was an urgency to Jesus' commands to the grieving man and to the family man. "Follow me. Don't stop to bury your father. Don't stop to say goodbye. Follow me." Now, Jesus is saying, not in a day, not in a few hours, now. For God has come. God's grace is here now. God's peace is here now. God's kingdom is in the flesh right before you. You can experience the gifts of God's grace right now. Why would you wait? For life is precious. Every minute. Most of the time in the Lutheran Church, we baptize infants, as we are baptizing Andre James today. We baptize infants and children because we want them to experience life in Christ as soon as possible, before they can understand the words, before they can understand the promises that their parents make. We want them to experience the love, the inclusion of God. We want them to experience the promises that God makes. Let me remind you of a great story. Luke records it in chapter 8 of the Acts of the Apostles, the book in the Bible that immediately follows the four Gospels. In the incident in chapter 8, a man had come from Ethiopia to worship at the temple in Jerusalem. He was traveling home in a chariot, and as he was traveling, he was reading aloud from the scroll of Isaiah. "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter." The apostle Philip happened to be there overhearing him, and he offered to tell the Ethiopian about the man of whom the prophet Isaiah had written. And Philip told him, Luke says, about the good news of Jesus. I suppose that Philip told about Jesus, who had spoken many good and also hard words, who healed many, and who had indeed been led to the slaughter. And I imagine Phil told the Ethiopian that Jesus was raised by God from the dead, that he appeared to many before ascending into heaven, and before sending the promised Holy Spirit to his followers. who then started sharing Jesus' good news and baptizing people in Jesus' name. After hearing the good news, the Ethiopian exclaimed, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He didn't want to wait another minute without being baptized. Not another minute living outside the life of being baptized into Christ. Every minute of living without God is a waste for those who know God. Earlier this week, I was listening to Terry Gross doing an interview on NPR's Fresh Air. She was interviewing Tony Hale, an Emmy-winning actor. He plays assistant to the president on Veep. When Terry asked how Hale met his wife, he said, "At church." That surprised her. But as Terry Gross does when she is surprised by something someone she interviews says, she kept coming back to that. Later in the interview, she asked Hale how important his faith was to him. And he said, "Crucial." He said his life was immeasurably deepened, knowing that a loving God was with him through all the hard times of his life. He couldn't imagine life without faith in Jesus. But not all of today's readings are so positive in tone. What about the people who reject Jesus and what Jesus stands for? The kingdom of God's grace coming near. The first part of today's gospel gives us a clue about those who reject Jesus. In that first part, the Samaritans did not welcome Jesus. And so two of the disciples offer to command divine destruction to come down on them for this slight. Now, Luke doesn't say exactly what Jesus said to the disciples, but since Jesus rebuked them, I'm guessing he said something like, "No, you may not cause fire and destruction to rain down upon them for not welcoming me." Even at that point, Jesus' attitude was one of grace, of relenting from punishing. Perhaps their disdain was punishment enough. Being without Jesus, being without the presence of God, is enough of a consequence. In our second reading, Paul notes a huge difference between the works of the flesh, that catalog of sins, and the fruit of the Spirit, those, that list of wonderful attributes. But I am a little more Lutheran than Paul was. Martin Luther wisely wrote the wonderful saying, "Simul justus et peccator." We are at the same time simultaneously sinner and saint. And we are saint not by what we have done, but by what God has done in Jesus for us. I have observed that we can experience many of the fruits of the Spirit at the same time we indulge in the works of the flesh. I certainly am both sinner and saint. When I am on Facebook, I try to be patient, kind, peaceful, generous, and faithful. But surprisingly often, I engage in quarrels and let others feel the heat of my anger. Oh, yes. Same time, sinner and saint. Saved by God, who loves me in spite of my frequent sinning, in spite of my seeking to move away from God instead of closer to God. And it is that God who forgives us that we should not want to feel apart from. Not for 1 minute. What are we waiting for? When we let a year go by without enjoying the fruits of the Spirit, without delighting in the presence of Christ in our lives, that amounts to 525,600 minutes without the consolation of the gospel that God loves us no matter what. And that is 525,599 minutes too many to be without God's love. Let us live in the freedom of God's grace. Amen.